Okay, so we're going to continue from last week. What we discussed about last week was that, let's take the example of the klipas atmeis. Generally, in Chassidus, it divides everything in this world into three categories: there's kedusha, klipas nega, and shalosh klipas atmeis. And then the Rebbe's sichet, the Rebbe tells us that in there is even in shalosh klipas atmeis. Even in Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis, which according to Chassidus, what is going to happen to Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis in Yemos HaMashiach? The Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis are going to be in a spatel, Avi Ruach HaTumma Min HaOretz, and the Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis will disappear. So the Rebbe in there says that when you say the Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis is going to disappear, it doesn't mean that the actual object is going to disappear. The Rebbe says the object, even though Chassidus always tells us that Shalosh
Klipas HaTmeis will remain.
What?
The Chaymer Yuli will remain.
The Chaymer Yuli. Yeah. Now just understand, we say Chaymer Yuli, what we usually understand it to mean, what you can very easily understand it to mean, it means something like, something abstract that can't identify with, right? That is just not putting things in context. What it means is that this object, the way I see it today, exactly the way I know it today, that is what I'm going to see in Moshe Mashiach. But in this current moment, when I see this object, I see many usages and many purposes. I can use this object, which are against the wrath of Hashem. And when I see, let's say, the chafer horse, I can see that there's an opportunity that if I wanted, could go and eat it. So the Yemos HaMashiach, this opportunity won't be recognized. I won't be recognized. What will I recognize in this horse? I'll recognize only one thing, that I can use it for riding. Fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. The fact that there isn't this horse, with Gashmis, has an opportunity to use the altar negative Ratzon Hashem, that will not be noticeable in Yemos HaMashiach. So that what it means of Chaymer Yuli. Chaymer Yuli doesn't mean that some abstract atom in that, something there in the horse, which we don't see, something there in the horse. No, it means a horse. That horse, but the usage of the horse, the way I use it today, which is still so many purposes of using it, negative Ratzon Hashem, that won't be there.
So then, what about things that are usher in Be'anoah?
The same thing would apply, that everything would apply, that would apply to everything. The only thing which remains a question is when the Rebbe is about Aveda Zora, but let's not go into it. Aveda Zora, the Rebbe, but this is something the Rebbe discusses. The point is,
anything that's usher in Hanoah, how can you possibly, a horse, you could use to ride it, but like, what are you going to do with it?
I don't know the answer on the spot. I have to look up in the stichas. I think the Rebbe discussed in different stichas. But without going into all these details, the point is that everything with Rebbe's, in other words, the way we always understood in Chassidus is the three categories. And the category of Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis is going to disappear. It's going to be Aver Ruach HaTum Min HaOretz. It won't be there. So here the Rebbe's come and brought out to us, there's an inner element in everything, what you just now said, the Chaymer HaYuli, which that is actually, so the way we always understood Chassidus when it said, the Chassidus said the Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis is going to be in this battle. So what did it say? What did it say also in Chassidus? That the Nitzitz Eliki in the Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis, that will be elevated. What will be elevated? The Nitzitz Eliki. What are the Nitzitz Eliki? The Nitzitz Eliki is a Dabar Ruchni. It's not a Metzias Gashmi. So the Metzias Gashmi of the Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis, the way we always understood it was that the Metzias Gashmi would be in a spatel, only the Nitzitz Eliki would be elevated. The Nitzitz Eliki in the Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis. Now the Rebbe is telling us that when you say the Nitzitz Eliki, it's not only the Nitzitz Eliki, which the Ruchnis is talking about the actual Gashmistik Metzias, as we, the Chaymer Yuli, which that basically means the actual Gashmistik Metzias, as we see it, with that is included in the Nitzitz Eliki. So the Rebbe here has brought in a new dimension here, in every Metzias, any existence that there is, that it has in it, its Etzem Metzias, its actual Metzias, which is not restricted, it doesn't fall into the categories of Dusha, Klipas Noigan, and Klipa, and Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis, that falls in the, that is, it's bonded with Elokus, it's bonded with Elokus Be'etzem, doesn't fall into any category, and that will always remain. So the Rebbe is bringing, brought out to us that there is in everything, in the Olam Hazeh, regardless of the category, there is its Etzem HaMetzias, the Chomer HaYuli, which that is going to remain, which basically what it basically means, this Chomer HaYuli, which is going to remain, which is deeper than any, deeper than the Sholosh, than the categories of the Sholosh, of the Dusha, Klippang, and the Sholosh Tumas, there's an inner existence in everything, which is surpasses the difference of these categories. What is this inner existence which surpasses the difference between these categories? What it is, it's me, myself, as I know myself. That's what it is. It's the Matthias Gashmi as we see it. This table as we see it, this thing as we see it. This is the inner existence of the thing that surpasses in the three categories. Now when I see this thing, I can use it for different purposes. So that is why it falls in one of the three categories. In Moshe Mashiach, I'm only going to see it for its true purpose. I'm only going to use it for its true purpose. I'm going to come to realize how I should use it for its only true purpose. And that is, so the materials of the thing, the way it is going to remain in existence. So what basically, what the Rebbe brought out to us, this inner materials, what would you call it, the Loshon of Chassidus, the inner existence of everything, which is not recognized, the Rebbe has brought it out and tells us how we can today, the Rebbe does discuss it and does describe to us what it is. And what is this inner existence, which is Helam Sheinu B'Metzias? It's actually the Metzias of the thing of we see it. It's we, my Metzias, as I know myself. The whole Gashem Metzias of the world, as we know it, that is this Helam Sheinu B'Metzias. So that's okay. Now we're going to take the same thing. How the Rebbe brings out this Nekuda, also by Matan Torah. Here, so if you have here, I'm going. This is on, I don't know what it's on page 4 here. So you have here. We do here this Sicha first of this is Sicha Toshin and Aleph. The Rebbe discussing about Torah Chadasha. Now in the Sicha of Shavuos and Parshas Nosei, the Rebbe discussed a lot about Torah Chadasha. And Sicha Pashas Nosei, the Rebbe said very powerful words about now, I don't remember the exact words, but it's now currently is the scholars of the Torah Chadasha. This is what the Rebbe said in the Sicha of Pashas Nosei. So now, here we 2 weeks beforehand, this is Pashas Bahab HaKosai, where the Rebbe here is talking about a midbar. And the Rebbe is talking about a midbar, and Matan Torah was given in a midbar. The Rebbe says, why was the Torah given in a midbar? So the Rebbe here says, this is on line 11, because the midbar is a mokum hefka. And he said the way the Eibishter gave the Torah was, is not, usually we say, Meisen HaTorah, that means he gave it to us. He gave it, like we, one person gives something to another person. So the Eibishter gave us a matonah, he gave us a Torah as a gift, let's say. So here the Rebbe says on line 15 to 17, that here the Eibishter did not give it to us only as a gift. He actually removed his own ownership of the Torah, and he threw it out in Hefker, which basically the Rebbe is saying here, that because the Eibishter is above anything. He cannot say he's sort of connected to something, and he gave something to someone. You cannot say that about the Eibishter. So the most you can say is he threw it out there, because you cannot say he actually connected with someone in order to give something to that someone. So if the Eibishter was mafkir it, and that's why the Torah was given in the midbar, because the Eibishter was mafkir the Torah. And then the Rebbe goes to explain, this is going on to the next page, on lines 8 to 10, where the Rebbe is saying, that if you look at the end of line 9, that now it's up to the individual choice of every person to choose it. In other words, had the Eibishter given to us a Torah, then the fact that he gave us a Torah would have sort of compelled us to receive the Torah. Here the Rebbe is saying on line 9, no, the Eibishter didn't give us a Torah. He just threw it out there in the midway, threw it in happy. It was mafkir it. And therefore now it's our individual choice to receive the Torah. Okay, this is what the Rebbe is saying. It depends on our choice. And that is why the Eibishter gave it on the midbar, in the midbar. He threw it out. It was mafkir it. And we have to come individually and choose to take this thing which is lying there in the hefka. This is what the Rebbe explains about giving the Torah in the midbar. Now, going to lines 12 to 15, the Rebbe explains, line 12, that this would apply to Torah Chadasha, and that the Torah Chadasha is also going to come, the Rebbe explains what the It's going to come out of the Eibshter. The Eibshter is going to throw it out. Hefker. He's going to give it out. And we have to individually, from our own choice, go and pick it, take it and pick it up. This is what the Rebbe explains over here in the Sifra. Now, just by the way, what the Rebbe is actually saying here, just to understand, what the Rebbe is actually saying here is, this interpretation about a midbar being a mokum hefker, the Rebbe discusses many, many places, many sikhas, why the Torah was given in a midbar. There's in Lakuta Sikhas, there's many sikhas, the Rebbe explained why the Torah was given in a midbar. This interpretation, because the midbar is a mokum hefker, if you look in the footnotes to this sikha, you see it has no source, there's no previous source to this concept to say that Abisha gave the Torah in a midbar because midbar is a mokum hefker. The Chari, you don't find it. The sikhas before it also doesn't mention. So this is like a new interpretation that I was saying this year, Toshin and Aleph. You should know the reason why the Abish gave the Torah the Midbar, because he was Mafke the Torah. And the same way, now it's Hefke. It depends on our individual choice to go and pick it up. So the first thing that I was saying over here is that being in another 2 weeks, I'm going to be giving you the Torah Chadasha. I'm going to give you the Torah Chadasha. The Rebbe is saying, I'm fully aware that I'm going to throw it out there, and it's right to Hefka. That's it. It's Hefka. There is no, in other words, right, the Rebbe said in the Sikha V'chof Ves Nissen, I'm speaking to ears which don't pick up what I'm saying. So this is what the Chayre, the Rebbe in this Sikha, giving this whole introduction about being Mafgi, the Torah, the Rebbe is speaking about himself, that he, with his Torah Chadasha, which he's going to be speaking in this upcoming bringing, that he's really giving it out, and there's no one there to pick it up. It's, I'm throwing out to Hefka. That's one thing. But then there is another point which we want to focus on over here is the Rebbe here is saying that the Torah was given out to Hefka. Now, what we're going to come to soon, the way we know about Matan Torah, we know everywhere, Matan Torah, here the Rebbe says it was given out to Hefka, and now therefore it depends on our individual choice to choose to want to take it, because it's Hefka, right? So we can, there's no obligation upon us to go and take it. We have to choose from our own will to go and take it. Now, the way we always know about Matan Torah is that Matan Torah, there was no choice of the Yidden. With Kof Aleim Harke Gigis, it was not from the free choice. We'll soon come to it, right? It's not. So here you have clearly in this Sikha, where the Rebbe says out very clearly that Matan Torah was all dependent on the free choice of the Yidden, which is very different from the way it's traditionally known, is explained in Chassidus, the way it's in Gemara, etc., etc. Now, just to point out, you go out, and here's another quote from the Sikha, it's from Pashas Taste Toshin Nun Aleph. So you have here on from lines 24 to 31, where the Rebbe actually said the same concept. He's here, he's not talking about Matan Torah, he's talking about the Tachlis and Torah of Brias Olam, Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li'is Lei Dir B'Tachtonim. So we usually know Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li'is Lei Dir B'Tachtonim means the Eibshter had a tither, and therefore, and after that, everything follows after this type of the Eibishter, right? But the first thing is the Eibishter's type, and we are all committed to follow this, fulfill this type of Eibishter. The first thing, the first shaykhus of the Eibishter to us is this type, and therefore we are all subject to this fulfillment of this Eibishter's type, right? That's how it's everywhere in Siddur. So here the Rebbe explains, that fact that Yidden had, the Rebbe explains when the Abish in order to come fulfill his taiva, just to add one point over here. Let's not go into it. Anyway, in order for the Abish came up with this taiva only after he consulted with the Yidden. And here the Rebbe says, and therefore the fact that the Yidden on the free choice were the ones who chose that they should be subject to the type of Tirei B'Tachtein. So there's nothing there, there's a free, this is what we always assume, this is assumed all along, that it's coming clearly that we are subject to the Eibishter's Rotzen. Here the Rebbe is telling us there's a higher element in it, which is not subject to the Eibishter's Rotzen. Actually, he's a partner in initiating. It comes with his agreement, with his will, that he wants this person to be. It's from the Rishus. Whatever says the word, it's coming from the Rishus of the Yid. So this would be very similar to what we have here now by Matan Torah, where the Rebbe says Matan Torah, we know everywhere, something that was enforced, was forced upon us. And we're soon going to see. Nevertheless, the Rebbe says here, that no, it's our own free choice. They find the same thing here in this Pasha Tetzin. I just want to draw this comparison. You have the same Nukuda discussed in Pasha Tetzin, and the same thing goes in Pasha Tobe a bit. Anyway, let's go back to our point about Matan Torah. So now, let's hear this whole Mahalach. This Mahalach of the Rebbe to say that Matan Torah depends on the Chira of a Yid is it's a Mahalach of the Rebbe. It's a unique Mahalach of the Rebbe because we don't find it earlier. So here we just go through it. Here's several quotes in different places how we see how this Mahalach sort of builds up in the Rebbe's Sichas alone. So you have it here in Chedek Chof Ches. The Rebbe explains that just like by Matan Torah, the Eibishter was Boicher the Yidden, the same thing, this is what Rebbe says, the Matan Torah, the Yidden were Boicher the Eibishter. That's what Rebbe says. So here right away, here's the Rebbe brings out, the Kuda Matan Torah came with Kira of the Yidden. This whole thing is Mamish, it's almost all from the Halach of the Rebbe, both to highlight Matan Torah as being the Bechira of the Eibishter, is in the Kuda which the Rebbe sort of brought out, because it has its sources, but this was never considered as a highlight of Matan Torah. There's something, it's the Bono Bechartin in Tanya, but it's not really in the same, it's not in the same level what the Rebbe is saying over here. But anyways, the Nekudah, what we want to focus here, where the Rebbe says that they're just like Matan Torah was a Bechira of the Eibishter in the Yidden, the same thing, there was, at that time, the Bechira of the Yidden in the Eibishter. Now, if you, on lines 4 to 8, you see here's a quote from Taylor Eir. He's talking about Kol Dibur Porcha Nishmasam. He explains very clearly. He's highlighted on lines 7 to 8 that the Matan Taylor Nas Hakdomas Nas Hakdimu Nas Nishma Lo Yehoye Mitzidom Bukira Vorotan Hashem Atzmon Rabat. It was not from the Yidden's Rotan. It came was imposed upon them by the Eibishter. That's what it says in Taylor Eir. Now we know this always because this always tells us that. The Matan Torah, the chiluk of Matan Torah, and you may say Mashiach is Matan Torah is all Mamaila Lamata. It's coming all from above. Everything is attributed to Lamaila, whereas the Mosem Mashiach is going to come in Tzadav Vedas Atachtene. Now the truth is, if you look in Chassidus, even the Mosem Mashiach ultimately is also attributed to above. But Yom Mashiach Yom Yikemenon, it's also attributed to above. But let's not go into this. The Matan Torah, this is for sure, is all attributed to coming from above. Here, and this is what it says here in Torah, that the Matan Torah was not from the Bechira of the Yidden. He explains over here, the Yidden were overcome with Ava, Rabba, Kof Aleim, Harka, Gigis. This explains what does Kof Aleim, Harka, Gigis means. They were overcome with Ava, Rabba. The Eibishter enveloped them with Ava, Rabba. And therefore they were overcome, and therefore they said Nas Vinishma. That means it was imposed by them in through that love which the Eibishter showered upon them. They couldn't resist, and therefore they said Nas Vinishma. So it's coming from above. And here we say that very clearly in the Rebbe, we have very clearly from the Rebbe, that it was from the Bechira of the Yidden. It's not just in the footnotes here, there's a sticker here in several places, which Rebbe says, Parcha Nishmosan. Rebbe explains the Parcha Nishmosan. How do we always understand Parcha Nishmosan? We always understand Parcha Nishmosan is then we get encaptured by a gilui coming from a mile. We're overwhelmed with the gilui coming from a mile. And therefore, Parcha Nishmosan. This is how we always understand Kolos the Nefesh, is that when we are encaptured, we're overwhelmed with the gilui from coming from above. And therefore, there's Kolos the Nefesh. So here in the Rebbe's Sichas explains, here the Rebbe is discussing Parcha Nishmosan by Matan Torah, called Dibur, Parcha Nishmosan. The Rebbe said the reason why Parcha Nishmosan was because the Yidden had committed themselves, and this is a whole lot gosh of the Rebbe. The whole lot gosh, I don't have time to go into it, but it's amazing how the Rebbe says it. I have it in the footnotes here, footnote number 16. The whole thing was the Yidden was so, had so much fervor in their decision to listen to their Eibishter, that's why they Parcha Nishmosan. From their fervor in committing themselves to the Eibishter, that is what caused Parcha Nishmosan. So the Rebbe is telling us, it all came from the Bechira of the Yid. That's Matan Torah. Now, this is a Chassidus, how Matan Torah is explained as Chassidus. But then let's take how it is in, 1 second. That's a bit further. Then you have the same thing, actually, whatever it says then, Torah Eir is explained then. Look at this, is Chelik Bob. He actually tells you, yes. He tells Alpinigla. Yes, he's bringing here Alpinigla. The Matan Torah, Alpinigla, Pigmora, was not through the Bechira of the Yidden. Why? Because it says, Top of Lame Harke Gigis. So he says in the Sicha, line 10, he's a Mikam Midor Rabba Laraisa. What does it mean when the Gemara says that Mikam Midor Rabba Laraisa? That the fact that Yidden accepted the Torah, Matan Torah, was all through a Oynes. They were forced to do it. It was not from the Bechira. So this is the Rebbe saying it very clearly here in the Cherik Lamed Vav, that it's not from the Bechira. And nevertheless, we see the Rebbe's in all these sikhs we had till now, we brought these Rebbe's, keeps on telling us, no, it's all from our own free choice. Okay, now, let's just go.
So does he answer the question in that sikha?
We're going right now to it. Here's now. So now, yes, the Rebbe answers it, and we're going to right now. So here's the answer, what the Rebbe says in that sikha. Here's the answer, what the Rebbe says in that sikha. And here's how it goes. It's a line 1-3. 1-3 on this page here. The Rebbe says that, explains that even though, it's the Rebbe's words, the Rebbe says it very clearly, even though Kofalim Harke Gigis, nevertheless, there was a prelude beforehand. There was something which led to that. And what that was, the whole union of spirits to Omer, which that brought, so therefore, the Rebbe is saying, even though Martin Taylor was Kofalim Harke Gigis, nevertheless, there was a participation of the Yidden from their part that they had wanted Matan Torah. So it comes out that it came, there was two elements here. There was the force coming from the Eibishter, but beforehand there was a whole buildup of the Yidden's own free choice to want Matan Torah. So therefore there was a Bechira of the Yidden also. That is, whatever here is now.
The Rebbe says that it was Mitzad Bechira that they could have, even though it was Kofolim Harki Gigis, they could have still chosen to.
So far, we haven't brought that out. That the Rebbe said such a thing that they there was.
I read part of what you sent me. So.
Fine. One second.
And
one
that's
second.
What I have a actual question on that is that isn't the whole Bechira that it's Bechira of two things that are not. That are completely equal and not something that's like, you know, that's driving you towards one choice or another.
One second. Before you get into this, let me just, give me a moment to pick up, I lost the page there. 1 second. I get there. Yeah, but that's 1 second. Okay. Where are we here?
Rebbe speaks about Bechir over there. He says that it's an equal choice.
What?
It's not Bechir, not Mitzad. That's what the Rebbe says. Bechir, there's no...
I can't get the screen, so I don't... I'm just speaking through the audio. Yes. What are you saying? That what?
Oh, put the clip up that you just had. Put the clip back onto the screen.
I'll do it sooner. Why are you speaking to me? Tell me what you're saying.
I don't know. He was asking about Bechir. That's what the Rebbe was saying.
The Rebbe, no, 1 second. The Rebbe says here that, the Rebbe said there was a Bechira. The point is, the Matan Torah again, this is what we quoted before. Matan Torah doesn't mention anywhere there's Bechira. It says everywhere there was not Bechira. Here the Rebbe has this shitta, which is brought, the Rebbe is through the years, the Rebbe brought it out in all the sittas. The Matan Torah Mefedish has Bechira. So now, in this sikha, the Rebbe explains, this last sikha we just quoted, that yes, there was Kofalim Harkagigis. Harkagigis would exclude Bechira. But nevertheless, the Rebbe said there was a whole build-up beforehand, which brought this whole build-up beforehand, the preparation to Matan Torah, which came through the Bechira of the Yidden. So therefore, there was a build-up of the Bechira of the Yidden. So you have here two elements. You have the Kofalim Harkagigis, and then you also have the Bechira of the Yidden. So now, let us just understand. Here the Rebbe is introducing, this is what the Rebbe says in this sikha here, in the Chelik Lamed Vav. Fine. He's responding to his question. So the Rebbe is telling us there was an element of the Bechira because of the build-up of the Bechira by the Yidden beforehand. But, remember, everywhere, in Chassidus, it discusses Gilu of Matan Torah is Milmaila Lamata. It doesn't, and we had it before from Torah El, where he says there was no Bechira. Here the Rebbe is introducing us to us a new concept and telling us, you should know there is an element of Bechira. Where in the build-up? That is very fine. But,
Not just in the build-up. The Rebbe says the vort that it was Bechira. They could have chosen to let the har come on them.
1 second. So Rebbe Yeshua, the Rebbe does not say they could have chosen to let the har on them. You're reading what I wrote further in the document. Let's have it in the sikha. The way it is in the Gemara is that there was kof aleim har gagigis. It was forced. They were forced. The way it's in Chassidus is that they were shouted Abba Rabba and they had no choice. Everywhere, Matan Torah is coming from above. There was imposed on the Yidden. They were forced. They were shouted Abba Rabba. It's not from the free choice. The Rebbe is coming up with this thing that Matan Torah came with a free choice. How did the Rebbe explain it here in this Sikha? He said, because there's a build up to Matan Torah coming from the Bechira. Wonderful. It's not a problem at all. So let us understand. So here the Rebbe is telling us there's two elements. They were forced. It's a very interesting combination. Sidus tells us they were shouted Abba Rabba. The Gemara tells us they were forced. The Rebbe is telling us, bringing us a new dimension here. You should know there's a build-up of the Bechira beforehand. So let us understand. The Rebbe has told us, explained us, you should know there's a build-up in Sidus Oim of the Bechira beforehand. Let us understand. We're trying to get to the point here, not what happened before Matan Torah. We're trying to understand what happened by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, they were forced. The Rebbe is telling us because it was a build-up beforehand, there was an element of Bechira also b'shas Matan Torah. So this is where the Rebbe is leading to tell us there was an element of Bechira also by Matan Torah. And this is what the Rebbe says in all the sikhs, explains us how the Poruch Nishmosim is becoming because of their Bechira. Now, what significance does my Bechira have when I'm being forced? The way the Gemara tells us I'm being forced with a kof aleim har gagigis, or the way the Chassidus tells us I'm being shouted Abba Rabba that I cannot resist. What, at this point here, what significance has my Bechira? You're telling me there was a build-up. I want to know what significance this build-up has. If anyways I have to do it by force, what is the significance of this Bechira? So let us understand it up in Nigla. This is on Peter Gimbel here, up in Nigla. Where do we find such a concept? And this will give us to understand better what the Rebbe is actually telling us. There was an element of Bechira by Matan Torah. Remember, the Rebbe is making this element of Bechira by Matan Torah, like we just explained. He's making it a whole issue. This is how we take Matan Torah with our Bechira. Even though we're being forced, our approach to Matan Torah has to be with our Bechira. So what significance does this Bechira have? So we'll try and find it in Halacha, how the Rebbe discusses the same thing in Halacha. And we'll come to see what the Rebbe means when he said there is an element of Bechira even when you're forced. So here you have the Rambam, it's in Peir Gimel here, in the bottom of the page. If you have the paper in front of you, I don't know. Anyways, here the Rambam said, there's a din of the Rambam, when someone is forced to do one of the three Avedas, Yarek Val Yaveh. So the din is, by Yarek Val Yaveh, someone's forced to serve Avedas Zora, or Gidei Aroyos, etc., any one of them, then he has to be Moisa Nevesh, and he's not allowed to give in. He's not allowed to serve the Avedas Zora. That's the din, everyone knows that. He has to push the din. Okay, nevertheless, the Rambam tells us, then over here, what happens if someone was forced to serve Avedah Zorah and he couldn't resist and he served Avedah Zorah? The Rambam says, is he culpable for punishment? He served Avedah Zorah, he could have resisted. The Rambam says, even though he had to give up his life and he chose not to give up his life, he went and served Avedah Zorah, nevertheless, he is not chayv any punishment. Why? He was forced to serve Avedah Zorah. So what we see here from this Rambam, something actually very, very simple. When you say someone is forced, it does not really mean always that he does not have a choice. Here the Rambam is telling us he was forced, and that's why he's potter. He had a choice. He could have served the Avedah Zorah. That what he was meant to do. He was meant to give up his life. He had a choice. He could have given up his life, and that's what he was meant to do. Nevertheless, he is considered forced. That means if you take, in other words, in force, there's two ways of force, which is discussed in the footnotes here. I think the Rebbe brings it from some, I think it's Iran, I don't remember. Anyways, so there's two ways of force. One way of force is I take this person's hand and actually move his hand up by force. I take his hand and move his hand from here to there. So that his hand is actually like a tool in my hand. His hand moves because I am moving his hand. There's no participation of his will here. He has to move his hand because I'm moving his hand. That is one way of force. Another way of force is when you take a person, tell a person, if you don't do what I want, then you go, I'm going to shoot you, Chas v'Shalom, right? So here the person has a choice. What do they have a choice? He has a choice to be shot. Nevertheless, normal logic tells us, and Allah also tells us, no, this person is not considered to have a choice. He does not have a choice. He's being threatened with his life. To that point, he is an oinus. So this is very normal. When you take a person, even though whenever most situations, when you put a person into oinus, a regular oinus, does not mean the person doesn't have another choice. Of course he has another choice. He has a choice to give up his life and not to give in. But that is not, this choice is not considered. And therefore, he's considered that whatever he did was done by force. Now, the same thing would apply when the Ebzer took the kofar lehem harka gigis. The Ebzer put upon them harka gigis. The Yidden had no choice. So they were forced to accept the Torah. Torah Shabbat Peh, whatever it was. They were forced to accept the Torah. So they were forced? No, they had a choice. What was their choice? Their choice was they could have given up their life and let the Ebzer drop the mountain on them. So they had a choice. So here you see very clearly what the Rebbe explained us earlier. Yes, Yidden were forced. The Gemara says, Kofar lehem harka gigis. But there was a choice. There was an element of a choice. Now, what were the elements of a choice? That they could have chosen not to give in to the Eibishter, and the Eibishter should drop the mountain on them. So here is where the Rebbe is introducing this element of choice by Matan Torah. Even though they were completely forced, totally forced, it's always assumed they were forced. Here the Rebbe is introducing an element of Bechira, because they could have not given in to the threat of losing their life. They could have not given in, and could have given up their life. Now,
why would they give up their life? Now
the question rises. So let's say the Rebbe showed us here there's an element of Bechira by Matan Torah. Why is the Rebbe making an issue out of this element of Bechira? Why is the Rebbe making an issue out of it? It has no significance, a normal understanding. Such a Bechira is not considered to be a Bechira. Halacha considers it to be an oinus. Normal understanding considers it to be an oinus. Chassidus considers it to be they were overcome with Avar Rabbe. Here the Rebbe is telling us, no, you should know the element of Bechira. And not only the Rebbe is telling us it's an element of Bechira, the Rebbe is actually making the whole ik of Matan Torah is the fact that you didn't have a choice. We have a choice when there's no logical reason that you should want to do otherwise. There's every reason you should accept the Torah. Now the Rebbe says you could have hurt yourself and not accepted the Torah. So the fact you accepted it, you could have lost your life or whatever, you could have hurt yourself and not accept taking the Torah. Nevertheless, therefore, you're accepting the Torah is coming from your choice. Why is the Rebbe making a significance here out of the Metzius of Bechira, in which the Rebbe is not only making, it's not a significance, this comes a whole Iker in the Mahalach of the Rebbe, Matan Torah, that it came from the Bechira of Yisrael. This is why it covers the Nefesh, the open side of Bechira. Why the Rebbe making a significance out of something which is normally, which is not considered, it's a normal logic, it's not considered the Metzius. So this is the question. What do you say? Rebbe Shu, you had something to say?
Yeah, so how is it Bechira though? How is it Bechira?
So there's an answer to this. The answer is very simple. The Rebbe is talking about our current situation today. There's every reason, whatever the Gili was by Matan Torah, let's take the Sikha, go back to the Sikha where we're talking about Parshas Nosei. Take back the Sikha, Parshas Nosei. When the Rebbe is telling us that the Torah is either giving out, he's throwing out the Torah Kadosha in a Mokim Hefke, taking the Torah Kadosha, he's throwing it out in a Mokim Hefke. It depends on our individual choice to come to take it. What the Rebbe is telling us is that today, once upon a time, on normal circumstances, Matan Torah is not considered that you had a choice. They were overcome by the Rabbah, they have a mountain upon them, etc., etc. So there's no choice there. Here, Al-Pi'alocha is not considered to be a choice. Here, the Rebbe is taking this element of Chira over here, which makes Kipshute no sense of Pi'seichel. It's Poshe Kipshute. No, it's contrary to Seichel. To say this is Bechira, but the fact is there is a Bechira. You could have chosen to hurt yourself. And here the Rebbe is making the whole Iker out of it. Because the Metzius is today, let's say, when it comes to the Torah Chadasha, the Rebbe is telling us, here I'm giving you the whole Torah Chadasha. Oh, the Rebbe is telling us all the Yonam of Gula, I've given you everything. It's everyone from Tovshin Yud, the Mahalach of the Rebbe was, that every, the Gil of Matan Torah is being is whatever was there by Matan Torah is here today in with a greater gilui. Nevertheless, we don't recognize it. Why? So this is why the Rebbe does is he goes back to Matan Torah from the very beginning and explains us the way we always assume Matan Torah. We understood Matan Torah was forced upon us. We were overcome with Avarab or whatever, the Gemara, the Chassidus, how it's explained. Comes the Rebbe and tells us, you should know, the initial thing of Matan Torah was the Yidden chose to recognize. If the Yidden would not have chosen to recognize the Eibishter, there would have been no Avarab. Nothing would have transpired. Yes, they would have lost their lives. Kofalem Harkagigis. But there had to be an element of their choice. They would have lost their lives. Yeah, Kofalem Harkagigis. There was their choice. That when the Gili starts, the Rebbe is telling us, the Gili today, I'm giving you the Torah Chadasha. You have the whole Torah Chadasha here. But what is now? You have the Torah Chadasha? By Matan Torah, if they and Matan Torah would have had the same attitude that we have today, they would not have exercised their free choice, there would have never been Matan Torah. There would never be the same thing. We have a repetition of Matan Torah now again. The Rebbe is giving us Torah Chadasha. The Rebbe is telling us it's our free choice to accept it. Now you don't want to accept it. You don't accept it, so you won't have it. And you may have kofalim hakagiz, you're going to be losing out in every single direction. But it's your free choice. The Rebbe is basically, this whole idea what the Rebbe is bringing out over here, is bringing out this metzias, which was unrecognized. The metzias of in other words, it's the same thing what we had, I think was last week or 2 weeks ago, that all the giluyim, yes, it was 2 weeks ago, the all giluyim, which we know usually there is like this. There's Giluyim, Amayla Lamata, and Amata Lamayla. All these things is this, the whole Torah of Chassidus. You have a whole discussion of Torah of Chassidus about Giluyim. From the beginning of Torah of Chassidus till the end, till the Rebbe, till the Torah Shvi. Here comes the Rebbe, which tells us, he's Megala to us, and a Kuda, which is there in Chassidus, which we never knew about. And what is this? That nothing starts before your Bechira. If you're talking about the Giluy of Torah of Chassidus, you have it all. It's all there. But there's an element before that, and you have to choose, want to choose to identify with it, want to choose to recognize it. And so what is that? This is the element of Bechira. This is the element of Bechira. And this is, I choose to give attention to the Eibishter. And that is where everything starts. And this is why the Rebbe is making a whole deal out of this union of Bechira. Does this make sense or not?
It does make sense. Yes.
It does make sense. So now, just to connect it to what we discussed last week about the same thing is, so here we have, one second. See, it would be the same thing as we had at last week with the Cholos Klipos HaTemeis. Jesus tells us there's three categories. There's Kedusha, Klipos Nega, and Cholos Klipos HaTemeis. Comes the Rebbe and tells us, that's how Chassidus always told us. We always knew the three categories. What is going to happen to the Cholos Klipos HaTemeis? They're going to be the spatos. They're not going to be existing anymore. Comes the Rebbe and tells us, you should know, there's a deeper element in all of this. And what is it? The Chemer HaYuli. There's something, a Chemer HaYuli. What is this Chemer HaYuli? The Chemer HaYuli is actually this Metzius as we know it. It's our Metzius as we know ourselves. It's the Metzius of the table as we know it. And here the Rebbe is telling us, beyond all these three categories, there's this Chemer HaYuli, the existence of everything itself. What is the Rebbe telling us? What is the Rebbe telling us with that? That the fact was, Chassidus always told us that will come at the Cholos Klipos HaTemeis is the opportunity of saying, of taking, the using a chetzer of Olam Hazeh for an Avera. That's Cholos Klipos HaTemeis. The ability to use a chetzer, the ability to use a chafer piece of meat and eat it, that is Cholos Klipos HaTemeis. Now the Rebbe is telling us, there's no ability to eat a piece of meat of trade. Why the no ability? Because in the context of the old Mahalach Mokshava till Deir Shvi, in the context of the old Mahalach Mokshava, there's no logical reason today that you should want to do an Avera. Once upon a time, when someone did something wrong, not necessarily he would see the result, how it affects him in Olam Hazeh. You'll go into this last week, why once upon a time you wouldn't see it, and why today you do see it. But the fact was that once upon a time, when someone did an Aveda, he would not see the effect on himself, the effect on in his own life. He wouldn't see the damage he's doing to himself. Today, when you do an Aveda, the damage is clearly noticeable. Nevertheless, so the Sholish Klipos HaTemeis, the ability on a normal human level, on a normal human level, the ability to use Sholos Kribos HaTmeis take the Sholos Kribos HaTmeis and use it for against the Rotzon Eibishter does not exist. What is happening? We're still doing things and using them for Happy Chakdusha. It is what we are doing when we're taking something, using it for Happy Chakdusha is the very same thing as you say the Yidin B'Matan Teirah would have chosen the Eibishter to drop the mountain on them. You're choosing to hurt yourself. So that is not in the regular context of Chassidus. This element of our choice that the Eibishter dropped the mountain on us was never recognized. The Gemara, it was never recognized there in the Gemara until they ever brought it out. So is that the same thing? They never recognize that that I should go and use a chetzer, the clipper, use it to hurt myself when it's clearly noticeable. If I only give attention to it, I'd realize how it hurt myself. I was never considered, such an option was never considered. So therefore, what did the chetzer tell us? It will come a time, Shalos Klippas is going to be in a spot. Here, the Rebbe is telling us, the Shalos Klippas is ready to be in a spot. It's clear that there's no purpose. What has been developed today? What has been revealed? It's come out today. There is an element which is a bit deeper than the Sholos Kribos HaTmeis. What is the actual existence of the fact? And this fact, I can take this horse, and despite logically speaking, there's only this paper piece of meat. Despite the logically speaking, there's only one purpose to this piece of meat today, to take it and use it for Kedusha. Because if I'm going to use it for clip, I'm going to hurt myself. So there's only one option. The clip is ready not there. Nevertheless, I can choose and use it for the clipper. So therefore, today is revealed this underlying development, this underlying existence of my Matthias, and in the Matthias of every Matthias of Gashmi, that is beneath, that is deeper than the Sholos Kribos HaTmeis, it's deeper than the three categories of Kedusha. What is it? And my choice to do with it what I want. It's got nothing to do with the clipper. It's got nothing to do with the clipper as it was once upon a time known, let's say. It's nothing to do with what it is. It's got to do with my choice. This is my Matthias, which till now was never recognized, but it was always considered that my Matthias would go along to do what is good for myself. Today I'm going against myself and doing out of my free choice also that what hurts me. So the whole Matthias of Mitzad HaKlippah doesn't exist. So this deeper element of the existence this deeper element has come to the surface today, that everything there stays where it is. It's just my choice to identify with its purpose. Is this understood? Do you see the connection to this, to what we were discussing by Matan Torah, about Matan Torah? Rabbi Yeshua?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
So that is basically it. Now next week we'll go, a bit further. Next week we'll go on the same topic. Last week we discussed about 770 moving to Yerushalayim. So what I said was, that the molecules of 770 will go to Yerushalayim, right? Because how can you remember that we had this word? Yeah,
I said
how can you take the stones of 770 and put them in the base of Mikdash? You cannot use stones of the base of Knesset for the base of Mikdash. So what with the Teretz was that the molecules of these stones of 770 come originally from the base of Mikdash. Now the problem is with this is a pi halacha, when something loses its normal form, it's not considered as that. This is someone's going to take, let's say, anything you take, you're going to take the stones of the base of nature, you're going to grind it and beat dust, that it should sort of in the air, should travel all the way to America and come part of 770.
What are the chances of that bechlal anyway?
That the chances got nothing to do, because the chances we're talking about where the teva, that's not talking about the chances. Let's just discuss, devote attention. The idea of the chances is something which is coming from the Rebbe Sicha, where the Rebbe says the dust of all those shulim, which were chorev, are going to go to the base of are going to go to Yerushalayim. That's a quote I brought from the Sicha. That the dust, when we say all the shulim are going to go to Yerushalayim, it's not referring just to the shulim which are currently existing, but also to the shulim which have been demolished and have been destroyed years back, thousands of years ago, 1,000 years ago or more. Whatever the dust from that shul is going to go to Yerushalayim and it's going to reform itself to come a shul again. So this idea of saying that everything will collect together is coming from the Rebbe. And it's there in the Rebbe very, very, it's not coming only from there, it's in many places. It's a whole mahalach. But the point is here, when something is deformed to the extent that it comes into dust, it wouldn't have the status of its previous status. If you take, let's say, the stones of a shul, and it comes into the dust, and they can, you know, and it's pure dust, whatever it is, It would lose its status of having, of any dust in it. It's not stones of a shul. It's not, it's dust. It's turned into fine dust. It's nothing already. It's not a metzias. So if we say that the stones of the Beis Hamikdash came to be Sam, to the Cheder, that would lose its halachic status of being Beis Hamikdash, you know, or, right, or you say the molecules of 770 will travel to Beis Hamikdash, it will lose this whole idea of molecules. When you go to this something which is not recognizable by the eye, L'chere, it loses its halachic status. So we're going to this next week. Next week, that doesn't really, that we're going to this next week. This has got to do with the whole concept of Teira Kadasha, where there's a new status to things are going to be realized with the, this whole concept of Teira Kadasha. Anyway, so this the nether we'll go into next.
All right, Shkoyach.
Thank you to you.
Amazing shiur.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll finish over here. Is anyone whoever's sitting here? I don't know who it is. If anyone wants to ask any questions, more than happy to hear. Let's hear. Okay, I think we'll stop over here. We'll finish here. And okay, thank you, Rabbi Shua. All the best.
Okay.
To you.